Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the former director of Homeland Security for Nevada, Rick Eaton, joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, John Gauntney, Mary Lau, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Rick Eaton. He is former Nevada Director of Homeland Security under Governor Givens and has an extensive career in the Immigration Service. Pleasure to have you back on the program. Tapping into your Homeland Security basic, U.S. Ecology had a fire down there in southern Nevada near Beatty, about 100 miles away from Las Vegas. At this point in time, the reports are that there's no problem with any low-level nuclear waste. What kind of security is in place via Homeland Security for incidents like this?
Well, those types of areas come under a critical infrastructure protection plan, and they bid to the government to get money to fortify those places. You have hard security, soft security, and intelligence, so there'll be perimeter security, there will be people that are there to prevent people from trespassing, and then there'll be internal security measures, electronic and otherwise. I understand that they have a pretty good handle on all those things, and I don't think anyone's glowing, I don't think there's any problems. Things like that are going to happen occasionally, and if you have a good plan in place, you respond, then everything's okay.
And this is not like Yucca Mountain. This is low-level nuclear waste,
right.
And it's been there for decades now. Let's talk a little bit about Homeland Security. People don't really understand it. Think of it in the national terms, but when you look at Homeland Security for Nevada, especially for Las Vegas, what were the biggest critical concerns?
We were high on the threat list back when I was being briefed years ago. Las Vegas was of interest to Al-Qaeda and other folks. If you go back to the original pictures they were showing of Osama bin Laden, he had Nevada circled on his map, so it was one of the places. There was a lot of proactive work done by Metro and by the federal government and by Homeland Security and others. There were incidences that were suppressed. But having said that, you have, say, the Venetian on a busy conference weekend with maybe 20 or 30,000 guests speaking 20 different languages, for maybe 30 different countries, 40 different countries being represented, maybe 10 or 15,000 staff, and all that brings with that, many thousands of cars an hour going through, very difficult to provide the protection that you would need. They do a pretty good job of it. My concern, though, was the whole Las Vegas, because if we go down the strip to the properties that are generating less money, they're obviously putting less money into security. They're probably paying a little less attention in some cases, because money drives the bottom line, and that's what they're focused on, the management of their business. My concern was something went off in a little small casino. It wouldn't read little small casino in Las Vegas got bombed. It would read bomb at casino in Vegas, news at 11. It would impact the tourism cycle for the entire Las Vegas. It would also impact a lot of other things. If you were to close 15 and if you were to close McCarran at the same time, which is conceivable, you may have a few days food supply for all those people. I just gave you one casino. Multiply it out by everybody there. How did the prescriptions get filled? How do we get doctors to people when things start going wrong because they normally see their own doctor back home? And then how do we vet through all of that for transportation and for just security and safety? So there's a lot of planning that goes into that. There's a lot of help that we get from DHS on the critical infrastructure side. We have a Homeland Security Commission here that looks at all these issues. The last governor, the most recent governor, Governor Sandoval, is on the commission. He does a very good job. He's been very proactive. And DEM, which absorbed Homeland Security, and when I was there, I was cabinet level, but now it's part of DEM. Caleb Cage is now running that. And I'm seeing a really good job by those folks. I'm seeing them outreaching the community more. They're including all their stakeholders. They're actually doing, like, telemeetings and whatnot to bring in people that normally wouldn't attend. It seems like they're doing a lot of things smart. You can't prevent for everything. You can plan and you can execute. And the more resources you bring to it and the more thinking you bring to it, the better off you are.
And a lot of people think in terms of casino security as watching for card counters and things like that. But in fact, most of the people that head up the major properties in Las Vegas, including places like Station Casinos, it's former sheriffs, it's former top law enforcement people that are looking out for a lot more than card counters, right?
Right, right. You have two concerns in security, internal and external. So you have the external, I don't want anything going wrong in a parking lot, in an elevator, in a stairwell. And that's both for people that might be assaulted or might just fall or might want to sue the casino unwarrantedly. You have internal security, and those are the cameras that can zoom down and read the serial numbers off the bills. We don't want people palming cards. We don't want people...
Seriously? That accurate?
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
It can be that accurate. Yeah. And more. And we don't want people defrauding us, because money is the commodity and money is the easiest thing to walk away with, right, sometimes? So that's it. Then we have the overarching, from my perspective, us coming in and saying, let us train your employees what to look for in the rooms. Let us talk about see something, say something. We did that a few years back when I was there. If you see something, say something. We had a program that was going forward, I don't know how far it got, where we were going to educate hotel staff. In other words, you go into a room and you see something, it looks like a rifle under a bed, or you see this, or you see a bunch of wires hanging out of something you've never seen before. Don't assume. Let your security know. Then we train their security. Hopefully the word gets back to Metro, gets back to who it needs to get to, and action is taken. And so that's some of the things that can be done from the highest level as far as training people and responding.
All right, let's take more with Rick Eaton when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You know, everybody's been talking about the Tesla effect. Here's our reality. Construction is booming. Roads are under construction. And the job creation and our market, it's booming. Our stable tax base is growing. And thank you, Governor Sandoval and all of the legislators, for delivering on this promise. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Chronic chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma,
and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising healthcare costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our healthcare spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising healthcare costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Rick Eaton. He is former Nevada Director of Homeland Security, also an expert on immigration. The big news as we're taping this morning is the hacking of the head of the CIA and the head of Homeland Security on their private accounts. What does this say to you?
It says anything can be hacked. You know, it is a chase kind of thing. You improve your systems and then they improve theirs. There's entities in certain countries that do nothing but hack into or try to hack into private, quasi-private, governmental, corporate types of systems. Cybersecurity has become more important because you can not only gain information, you can actually cause damage now, right? So you can shut down a plant, you can blow something up extensively. So obviously there's a lot of concern. Some years ago there was a classified program, I think most of it's been declassified, but I can say that it was to close the portals in U.S. government. There was hundreds of open portals, and when you look at the various agencies and everything else, and over time they reduced it significantly. They did a lot of other things too as countermeasures. That was some years back before it was in the news that much. There's certain countries that are notorious for promulgating this type of stuff.
But they're saying that these guys were high school kids, maybe one kid, mm-hmm. maybe a group of high school kids, and letting this all out on Twitter.
Yeah. There's some brilliant kids out there. They're not going to like the outcome of what they did. I think it's, to be honest about it, it's kind of a chase and catch up. We're going to make it better, then someone's going to figure out how to break it. Look at the level of frauds that are occurring now for bank fraud with credit cards, where they're scanning your card and capturing the information. Or they've gotten so sophisticated that people are responding to them now and voluntarily giving up the information. They're doing it to corporations where they're actually entering into billing cycles, and they think they're paying legitimate bills, and it's being they're being paid out to these folks that are less than scrupulous. So
I got a bank statement a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't recognize one of the people that had cashed a check. And so I took it to the bank. They Googled the name of this. Oh, and I called them. There was a number, if you have concerns about, and I called the number. And they said, we'll take that off your account. It's a mistake. And I said, who did this? Oh, we're not allowed to reveal. These are one of our clients. So I took it to the bank. They Googled the name of this company, and the thing that popped up was fraud.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they're concerned about the image, of course. Like banks like Wells Fargo have very good systems in place. They'll instantly notify you if you just charged in Akron, Ohio, and something just popped up in Honolulu, you're instantly going to get a message because they're on the hook for a lot of this. The other thing to consider, and I'm not an expert on financial fraud at all, but you have a debit card and you have a credit card, use your credit card because the rules are a little different and you're a little bit more protected with the credit card. Banks will tell you, if you can use your debit card as a credit card, do so, because it also protects them a little bit better. The banking rules favor that as far as fraud protection and them getting their money back. So there's a lot of nuance. I'm not an expert on it. I do know that identity theft, which is something we were involved with in immigration as well as state law enforcement, is huge and growing. And people adopt different identities for different reasons. But the end result is there's always a trail of financial with them, too. Whether it's a false Social Security number or feeding money into someone else's account, which throws off their Social Security benefits, or using other people's identity and obviously destroying their credit, which would be the most extreme example. But not everyone that engages assuming an identity or a counterfeit, a lot of times defraud employer for immigration purposes because they're not eligible to work in the United States. So let me go get my phony Social Security card, let me get my phony driver's license or whatever they're using as evidence claiming U.S. citizenship. That creates a problem in the violation of the Title VIII law right there, but it also creates other collateral problems as far as the things they've done financially to the institutions, to individuals and people that they hurt. And it can take years to clear that up, if at all.
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point. You know, we have this identifying system that businesses can go through to mm-hmm. make sure that people that are working for them are here legitimately. Why isn't this working? Why isn't this 100%?
I think USCIS and DHS would tell you it is working. They put out a lot of positive things on it. But the problem is that it's complex and it's probably underfunded, just my opinion. It pings off other agencies, not just DHS, Social Security and others. If you don't pass the system, then the employer has so many days to allow you to reach out and do certain things to rectify that. The legislature asked me to come in, and Greta, somebody I'm associated with, as you know, and give them some ideas. They would have incorporated that into their legislative plan going forward for contractors and everything. I ran myself on the pre-thing you can run yourself to see if you're going to qualify. I used my name on my federal credentials and everything that the government has had for me since God knows when. I didn't pass the test. So obviously something glitched. The other problem you have both with banking systems and with systems like this is if they ping your history and they go back and they run credit reports and they say, what was the amount of your mortgage in 1992, or what was your address? If you get someone like me that got moved every 5 years in the federal government and whatnot, I was involved with the intelligence programs on contract after I retired from DHS, and I covered all the western states to bring agencies into intelligence. And the new, what was called HISN, Homeland Security Information Network System, used this architecture from Equifax, I believe it was. And we had trouble with the people that were in the program because if you asked me where I was living in San Diego, that would have been 15, 18 years ago. I have trouble getting home some nights, you know, locally. So remembering. So that creates problems, and then you fail that system, and then it just makes it harder for people to work within these new architectures that are being set up.
And we think we have problems getting mortgages.
Yes, I have trouble getting through some of that.
All right, that's where you're going to leave it. Always a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Okay. Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction. 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Blackheads, so not attractive and so hard to get rid of. Wish you could make those stubborn blackheads disappear? Now you can with the amazing Blackhead Dissolving Gel from Proactive. And the best news of all, it's free when you order a Proactive kit in the next 10 minutes.
I'm in love with the Blackhead Dissolving Gel. It took a week and I could already just tell my blackheads were diminishing.
Unlike scrubs that only treat the surface of your skin, the Dissolving Gel penetrates deep down to melt away the dirt, grime, and oil trapped within your pores.
When I look in the mirror, instead of having black little needle points in my pores, it's clear. It's just my skin.
Order a Proactive kit today for just $19.95 and we'll rush you the Dissolving Gel, a $28 value, free. Plus, you'll get two more cool extras and free shipping. Now that's a deal.
Proactive really, really works. It's changed my life.
Get all this, a $90 value, for just $19.95. Call 1-800-535-9487.
We don't just practice law here in Reno. This is our home. Careless conduct is a danger to everyone.
When we help people recover from their accidents and injuries,
it sends a message. Slow down around school. Don't tailgate. Don't text and drive. And don't drink and drive.
This helps to make our communities safer.
If you've been injured, give us a call. I'm Bob Jensen.
And I'm Graham Galloway.
For your free consultation, call Galloway and Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should too.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, John Galtney is here, President Emeritus at Truckee Meadows Community College. Mary Lau is President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. And Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. So let us start out, Mary, with you and talking about the commerce tax. Now we're starting to get the paperwork coming in. Are we going to see the effect of this for most businesses beyond doing paperwork for a couple of years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to just be something that the way the bill was done, let me back up, the public and the business community is going to get bits and pieces of an apple that they're going to find out was poisoned. And they're going to get more upset every time. Because when you read in the paper, it's like, well, it's not going to affect me because it's, you know, $4 million and the threshold, and now they're going to have to pay their accountants. And people in Nevada are very paranoid, as they should be. It's like, why should we report our income? Well, they want the income reported for the next taxing cycle, because eventually we're going to look at a services tax. And the whole purpose behind it, and the testimony was behind it, was we have to be able to judge what we'll get. Of course, at the same get for the state in the way of income, for taxation income. But the funny thing was, is Jeremy Agro's testimony on the commerce tax was, it's about 25% off one way or the other. We don't know for sure. So the public is now becoming aware that the government is preparing to get in their pocket again. And these people are having to pay accountants to do this kind of reporting.
You know, the thing that concerns me is that, you know, I run a small business and nowhere near the $4 million level today anyway. Yeah. But, you know, already I'm being asked for information. I'm being asked about what bracket I'm going to be in.
Well, you're right,
code.
Because even if you don't owe this tax, every business in the state of Nevada will file the paperwork. Now, the bright point of that, to Mary's point, is that for those of us that support a services tax, a sales tax on services, we will now know the gross receipts of all these service-based industries and businesses. We couldn't before. The governor told me personally, we can't budget on those type of numbers if we wanted to do a services tax. Now we will be able to do it. Now, that's the hard part. Commerce tax is easy, right? Big out-of-state corporations that aren't paying their fair share, that's easy, right? It's when you're talking about a sales tax or a property tax, things like that, that actual real people pay, that's going to be the problem. And, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't had a lot of members banging down my doors about the commerce tax. Now, next August, when the first payment's due, I think that's when people are going to realize and wake up about it. You know, I did have a restaurant owner. He owns like three restaurants. And he's just over that $4 million mark. And once I told him that you can take that $4 million off, you know, you don't count all of that in your grocery receipts. You minus that $4 million off. He's like, okay. So the people aren't that upset, at least my members that have come to me. But I think they will be once that payment's due next year.
They don't like the reporting.
Yeah.
As an economist, how do you view this?
Well, I see the service tax as less retarding of economic development, because it's individually paid in a lot of cases, where corporations and businesses per se will actually experience the cost of collection and the frustration of collection and those type things. But basically, it's a less retarding economic development.
Okay, so let's talk about the services tax, because during the session we were talking about one or the other, and now it looks like we're going to end up with both.
Possibly, because the testimony behind the commerce tax was that eventually to raise the commerce tax and increase the strata on it, and then gradually lower the MBT, because the whole thing was developed around certain segments of industries paying less of the pie, as it were, and other segments paying more. So you're going to see a shifting in the MBT towards the services tax. You'll get more levels of businesses that pay, but then you're also going to go into the services tax, because we didn't solve our tax issues. We just placated gaming, if the truth be known.
Well, and remember, of the $1.1 billion tax package, it's what, $80
million? 60.
$60 million is the commerce tax. And so this idea that we talk about earlier and says we want to phase out the MBT, which was $600-something
right.
million, that's a problem. You know, I don't know how you're going to have to – that commerce tax is going to have to go pretty high to phase out the $600 million portion of that package. Now, on the sales tax and services, here's what I know. In 1955 – we were a 70% goods-based economy, and that's when we instituted the sales tax on goods. We're now at least 70%. Tax Foundation will tell you 85%. At least 70% service-based. And that's a portion of the economy that we're not taxing. Services, you know, haircuts, dry cleaning, car repair, et cetera. And so if you can put a rate, a sales tax on that, lower the rate on goods at the same time, I think you bring in a lot of money and you stabilize that revenue source. Now, they'll tell you that, well, you know, sales tax on services never polls well. You know, people hate that. Well, because
that's
they don't ask the right question. You know, do you want more, you know, taxes on your services? People are going to say, well, no. But if you told them that their rate was going to be lowered on goods, I argue that poor people would actually pay less if you lower the rate on goods and instituted services tax.
Well, we did a polling several years ago, and services tax was favored.
Interesting.
Because
gamers
the question,
will always tell you.
I know, and I've still got the poll in writing that says they support it. But we do need to straighten out our base more.
Mm-hmm.
And John and Trey are absolutely right. Services would bring a blend, and people could have the ability to pay less on their goods.
And we're not going to become less service-based.
Well, in 2003, services was floated, and it was part of Amity Care, mm-hmm. a bill that was out there as an alternative, and that the estimate from LCB at the time was $600 million. Now, that's how many years ago? 12 years ago.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
the income from that was $600 million. You wouldn't have to be searching for a commerce tax and raise mm-hmm. the rates.
And John, your quick answer to this, do you see companies not moving here or companies that are here leaving at this point in time?
No. Actually, I think there's a kind of a perfect storm beginning to build. It's probably a bad analogy, but in relationship to economic development in the state, I'm very pleased to see that.
All right, that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
These days, everything's smart. Phones, cars, even TVs. Now's the time to get the smartest TV, internet, and voice services for your home at $29.99 a month each. The Spectrum Triple Play. Call 844-885-2999. Why is the Spectrum Triple Play so smart? You get all your favorite HD channels free. And all your primetime shows are free on demand so you can watch instantly. Spectrum TV for $29.99 a month. Call 844-885-2999. Get the fastest internet at 60 megabits per second with no data caps. That's 20 times faster than DSL. With a free internet modem and bandwidth to support all those smart devices in your home. Spectrum Internet for $29.99 a month. Call 844-885-2999. With Spectrum Voice, enjoy unlimited nationwide calling with no hidden taxes or fees like the phone companies charge you. All for a great price with no contracts. Spectrum TV, Internet, and Voice for $29.99 a month each. Call 844-885-2999.
At CCNN, we help people find a purpose, the place to start their life. And in the process, we help people just like you discover who they can become. Since 1984, CCNN has been successfully educating students for careers in a variety of fields. And in the process, we help people just like you discover who they can become in fields like pharmacy tech and medical assisting.
Contact CCNN today at 775-583-4696 or visit learnccnn.com.
At Dollar Loan Center, we know that money doesn't grow on trees, and we don't need a kangaroo or a scientist to tell you how great we are. We have trained loan specialists that do that for us. Give us a call today and see how much you can save with us because we charge less than everyone else. We guarantee it. For more information about our signature loans or auto title loans, visit us online at don'tbebroke.com. Dollar Loan Center. Lending simplified.
On our next broadcast, the president of the University of Nevada, Mark Johnson. We'll see you then.